On the cover, Alina's face is tilted 90 degrees as though she were laying on the ground. In the foreground, a metallic liquid drips into a puddle forming on the ground in front of her. In the reflection in her pupil, we see an enormous form rising over a dark forest.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Call me Quint. I'm not the hero you think I am.
My name is Catherine Slayman II, but just Cat is fine.
I'm Mystic. Magic comes naturally, but keeping it contained does not.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Protean City Comics, issue number 111. Welcome to the hunt. On the first page of the comic, we are going to start with Alina. You have returned home to your bunker. You haven't probably been here in a while because you've been living with the appointed. Mm-hmm. And so you're settling in. You haven't been, I'm imagining, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm imagining a scenario in which you're probably spending some time, some downtime. Like you don't have to be on anymore. You don't have to be alert and watching out for your back. Like this is a safe place, right?
Yeah.
So where in this bunker are you relaxing? Where do we find you?
There's a inner bunker. So there's a bunker within the bunker. So it was built in the 50s. 60s, and kind of left alone. Alina goes down there because the couch doesn't smell as bad.
Is it a place that, like, even the asset has forgotten is part of this larger bunker?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a place.
Yeah,
I imagine that also. That now that you're back, he's tried to like have some like awkward fatherly kind of conversations with you. So maybe you're even like there trying to escape that awkward conversation.
It's kind of like a freshman in college comes back home after going away to school for, you know, a semester. And the parent is like, well, you still have a curfew. And it becomes kind of obvious to both parties involved that it's like, no, I don't.
So you're hanging out.
Yeah. Alina has tried to get it like some sort of hobby. Because she's been looking at things very analytically, and it was kind of starting to freak her out. Like every time she would walk into, you know, a coffee shop, she'd, you know, note ingress, egress, you know, possible threats. And so she's been trying to knit to calm her mind. But she doesn't have knitting needles. She has crochet hooks. Okay. So who knows what she's actually doing?
Okay.
It might be macrame.
So you're there. You're like you're laying on this couch. You're trying to reverse engineer how to knit using the wrong tools. Mm-hmm. And you're just trying to like turn your brain off a little bit. You're trying to just like get out of the moment, get out of the space, and readjust to this world. And you are struggling because there is just this like drip, 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 drip of something is dripping in this bunker, which shouldn't happen because it's a bunker, it should be totally safe. But also you know that like you're in an area where like you're not near the kitchen area, so there shouldn't be pipes running, and you have a rough idea of where you are in relation to the rest of the bunker. There shouldn't be pipes anywhere near you. There shouldn't be any water. Like you're, and it's just really annoying, and it won't stop.
Mm-hmm. So I get up off the couch, and I investigate.
So pretty quickly, because I think it's actually very close to the couch where this drip is, you can see that from the ceiling there is like up, you're like you just see something move in your vision, and this drop of liquid drops past you and splashes on the ground, and you look up and you can kind of see on the concrete, there's a crack, like a big crack running through the ceiling of the concrete. And when you look back down, there's there's something is dripping through this crack. And on the ground next to you, there's a slowly growing pool of like silvery metallic liquid.
That cannot be good. Alina's gonna try and climb up the ladder out of the bunker, and I don't know, find a hazmat suit.
Okay, I think that you definitely have a hazmat suit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that that's—I don't know where it is in the bunker, but I'm almost certain that the asset has one or two. Mm-hmm. So you're able to find that. Are you gonna put it on and come back? Is that your plan?
Yeah, I'm also. There'll just be a brief panel where Alina gets the hazmat suit on, and as she passes, you just see a few different other like smaller sizes of hazmat from when she was younger. And I mean, he just held on to them because you never know. Like maybe if she ever has kids, she might want to have the same hazmat suit.
So when you come back, you can see that where this was once, like when you left, it was like just a drip kind of thing. Now there is like a steady stream of this liquid pouring out of the ceiling, and the crack is actually getting bigger. And the pool now, which it's, when you left, it was like this maybe like 2-3 inch diameter, little like just something someone had spilled basically. Mm-hmm. And now it is like maybe a foot and a half wide pool of liquid. And it seems like it doesn't, the thing that's weird about it too is that it doesn't seem like it's like normally if you just like pour out a glass of water, it'll sort of splatter and spray all over the ground. This is really staying coherent as a puddle. And it is this weird, like again, metallic-y liquid that is just like, it doesn't really move, but it's just very weird looking.
Mm-hmm. So, can I assess the situation?
Sure. So give me a roll plus superior.
7 + 2 = 9. Okay.
So a 9?
Yes.
So you get to ask one of the questions from the list.
What here can I use to identify this liquid? I've got some swabs. I've got some radiation detectors. Alina grabs a match of one of those fireplace matchsticks from the 50s that didn't have any of the child hazard stuff put on. So maybe that's not a great idea, but she starts poking at it with.
Okay. Before you do that, let me answer the question. Okay. There is almost certainly something in the bunker somewhere where you could perform a more thorough chemical analysis of this liquid if you took a sample and brought it up there. I think the asset has not a huge but a small chemical lab where he can test stuff and sort of do some investigation. But yeah, you are going to have to bring a sample up to this lab in order to be able to, like, it's a big machine that's like, you can't bring it down here. It's not like a little reader.
Okay. Well, then it's fortunate I took a sample kit with me when I put the hazmat suit on, and get out a little test tube and just sort of dip it into the silvery substance.
Okay. When you like reach down to take a little bit of a sample of this into a test tube, as soon as you touch this liquid, you experience maybe the strangest sensation that you have felt in a long time. And you are a person who has experienced some strange things because you've fought some supervillains and like you have some powers of your own. Some of your friends have some powers of your own. It feels like someone is drinking your whole thing through a straw and you're being like slurped up through like from your toes up through your body into your hands, into the test tube and into this puddle, and then actually like you can feel your whole thing kind of going up into the puddle and then up into the stream up into the ceiling, and you just kind of like black out for a second.
Oh, no.
And when you come to, you are laying in a forest at night.
Wow. Great.
In a hazmat suit.
Yes.
Let me tell you about this forest. This is what you see as you're laying on your back. You look up and you can see around you that kind of in your peripheral vision, it's a little bit fuzzy, and for a moment you think that it's like it's something in your eyes, but as you sort of adjust and come to fully and like really become present in your body again, you realize that in fact it's not. It's just very thick fog that's kind of hovering around like your body as you're laying on the ground, and you're looking up, and there are these trees, and they are brownish purple, like they're a little bit off from what a tree should look like, and they're really tall, and they form and they don't have any low branches. They form like a high canopy above you, and through the gaps in the canopy you see the darkest space that you have ever seen, and beyond that, bright stars like you've probably never seen, being someone who lived in a city. Mm-hmm. This is truly what the night sky looks like when there's no ambient light around to mess with that. And so you're kind of just laying on your back in fog in this weird, creepy forest.
Either there was some LSD in those canned peaches, or this is like the third time Alina's been just shoved into another dimension. Like, this might as well, like, so she's just sort of, all right.
Okay, she's probably not even really fazed by it anymore.
She's just like, all right, so now where am I? Okay. This seems like, there are more trees than the time Death Shroud was around. And I guess I'll look out for somebody with a non-watch, a void watch. Oh, and so maybe this is one of the other Alina's universes. Maybe there was some time-wimey stuff.
So as you're laying there, kind of with all of this running through your brain, like not even really worried too much about where you are, because this has happened to you a bunch. You're just sort of really like just running through the possibilities in your mind of where you could possibly be. You hear a sound like shattering glass.
Okay.
And following it's weird though, because normally like when a pane of glass shatters, because someone has thrown something through it or dropped it, there's like this one kind of like splash of that glass shattering sound. But this goes on a little bit longer than what you would expect. It's not like someone is shattering a bunch of panes of glass. It's like this weird, almost like rippling of glass breaking, and it kind of almost, after it stops, rings in your ears a little bit. And then you hear thump, thump, thump as three other presumably person-sized forms fall to the ground next to you. Or in your area.
I roll into three-point stance and regard the forms in front of me.
Okay. Mystic, Quint, and Kat, would you describe what Alina sees?
Yeah. So the first one to land is going to be an Asian teenager. He is wearing a button-up shirt with a sweater over it, and with his collar popping out of it. His sleeves are rolled up and he's wearing jeans. But most conspicuously, he is wearing a domino mask with glasses over it. And his hair right now is blonde, but you can very clearly see blue roots beneath them, which is his natural hair color. And he gets up and looks around and, oh, great. creepy forest. I'm really hoping this is more unicorns and less giant spiders this time.
The next one to land is a very large woman, about 6'3", 6'4", just like built like a professional fighter. Just like peak physical strength. Wearing a black t-shirt and black cargo pants with more pockets than you could reasonably fit onto a pair of pants.
Every girl's dream.
She sort of picks herself up. She's got a pink and blue scarf wrapped around her shoulders and the lower part of her face, and she's carrying a rather large glowing spear. She looks around. It's like, shit.
And the third form to land is another teenage girl, not as tall. She's wearing a brightly colored super suit that has a lot of gray, but also a lot of bright lavender purple. And on the sides of her legs, she has bright teal cutouts. And she's got long black and green hair that's tied into two ponytails on either side of her face. And she's wearing a sort of see-through visor that works as her superhero mask, but you can also see her eyes through it. That's a bright purpley color like the rest of her suit. And she's got something about her skin is like kind of glowing a little bit, and you can see that it's much brighter at the palms of her hands.
Probably the way this happens is after you hear the first like thump of someone landing, you roll up and look towards them. And what you see is actually that that next to you, because the forest is kind of sprawling and there isn't too much sort of there isn't too much up and down to it. It's really kind of weirdly flat. But there is a little bit of a divot up around a little bit of a crater. And so you can see that you sort of have a suspicion based off of where you see Quint land. But then as Kat and Mystic, as they are sort of enter this whole scene, they actually are being hurtled up out of this divot, and they like fly kind of up a little bit and then fall to the ground, almost like something was like shooting them up out of this little like crater. And when you look around behind you, there is another one not too far from where you are, that presumably maybe you are hurled out of.
Okay, new friends. I'm down. Perhaps forgetting that she's in a hazmat suit, she approaches with, you know, hands sufficiently raised, non-threatening. Hello, I come in peace. Can you tell me your names? I am Alina.
Oh, hey, I'm Kat.
Oh, thank God. All right. So sometimes when I travel through these rifts, they're not always human compatible.
We're friendly.
Oh, yeah, that happens sometimes.
Hi, I'm Mystic. We're also not from here.
Okay, good. All right. Well, yep. Welcome. I'm going to guess why you're wondering why I all brought you here. Me too. I have no idea.
I'm mostly wondering. Just an accident.
I'm mostly wondering about the hazmat suit. That's not normal attire.
Oh.
Unless, you know, you're from a radioactive dimension. Is that a thing, Kat? Are there radioactive dimensions?
Yes.
Great.
This was just a precaution. Whatever brought me here looked toxic. But the suit didn't seem to prevent it from taking me.
Mystic is nodding her head.
Yeah. You didn't come the same way I did. Did you choose to come here?
Yeah, it's fine. Just things happen sometimes, you know. Sometimes dimensions that too close together may collide, and there's all sorts of weird like rifts, and it happens a lot when dimensions occupy like the same probability space. Don't worry about it.
You kind of get used to it.
Oh, okay. Cool. I don't know if I said my name. Alina.
Yes.
Cool. What do you guys usually do after this? Like,
around this time, we're being attacked by something.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Either we get attacked or... And everyone wait 10 seconds.
Well, yeah. Usually the first person we run into isn't someone who is also as confused as we are about where we are.
Okay. It doesn't look like this is going to go away on its own. Sometimes there's just a little bump in transit, and then we get pulled back onto the right course. This is not that time. Now we have a problem.
And then you hear the sound of a gas motor revving up, and something that sounds a lot like drilling. Like imagine the sound of like a well being drilled or something that is drilling into the ground. You can hear it off in the distance in the forest, a little bit away from you.
I'm gonna charge my burn.
Okay.
So I'm hearing that, and I'm like, I have to be on edge now. That's a 9 plus conditions. I have 4 conditions, so that's a full hit. Okay.
So that means you get to keep 3 burn?
Yep, I get 3.
Tell us what that looks like as you charge your burn.
Right, so for Junie, when she's charging her burn, it's often like kind of like a flare of light on her skin, where you can see she was already a little bit on edge before this, but now you can see that it suddenly gets much brighter, where it's very obvious, oh, that's coming from her. And then it concentrates specifically in her hands at the end. So it's almost like she has 2 like balls of light in her hands, but it's really just so bright there that it looks like that.
Okay. Yeah. And so as you are maybe now on edge a little bit, as you hear this kind of like engine sound off in the distance, as you look around and are sort of taking in your environment again now, I think a new thing that you'll notice is that each of the craters around you, so Alina, there's the one that you saw these 3 pop out of and the one that you would sort of assume maybe you came out of, there's actually a whole bunch of them now. Like you, as you're sort of looking around taking assessing this a little bit more, they're not close and they're not uniform, they're just sort of scattered. And the thing that you didn't notice the first time is that they all have this like big kind of metal tube that is running into them and then running off into the distance in the direction of this engine sound.
Quint turns to Alina. Call me Quint. How are you in dangerous situations? If you're any less than an 11 out of 10, you may want to stay back.
I think I'll be able to handle myself.
All right. That makes our lives easier.
So Alina's going to start sneaking.
Okay.
Towards the sound of the drilling.
Okay.
To see what's going on.
I'm going to be in the back because I am the least stealthy of us.
And
I'm
very
aware
glowing.
Of that. Yeah, and I'm glowing. And I think that since I see that she is starting to self, I'm like quieting the light a little bit. So it's still there, but it's not so bright.
I wrestle with the zipper on the the suit because it keeps crinkling. So
oh god. Yeah.
Sort of finally get it off and then proceed more quietly.
Okay, so you're ditching the hazmat suit?
Yes.
Okay.
Kat will sneak up with Alina, doing a couple of, like short-range teleports to avoid any particularly dense patches of foliage.
Mm-hmm. Overall, it's pretty sparse. The trees do this thing too, where when you look off into the distance, they look like they're thicker, but then as you kind of get closer to them, as you're moving through this forest, there's like an eye that you're in that's a little clearing, and as you move, it's like the clearing moves with you, and as the trees sort of change density around you. So you never, like, you always look off in the distance and see yourself moving towards a denser forest, but you never quite get there. But the things do change, and there isn't a lot of underbrush. And eventually, as you're moving through this forest, you find your way to, you start to, you get closer to where this drilling sound is coming from, and you find yourself looking out over there's another one of the divot kind of crater shaped things, and there is this big machine that is on top of it. It is maybe a, like, you could probably get your arms around it. That's how kind of how wide it is. And it's maybe 6 feet tall. And it has these kind of like three or four big robot like legs that are like standing on four sides of the divot. And it's sort of this like cylinder that is descending, and there's a drill bit in the bottom, presumably, and you can see that it's drilling into the center of this crater, and at the sort of maybe a third of the way up from this drill, there is another one of those metal tubes that is running off adjacent to the crater and then down the same direction that the rest of the tubes are running in, and there are three hooded figures standing around this machine, and you can't quite see them, and they're all facing towards the machine. One of them is kind of like poking at it. One is sort of looking at the pipe and making sure that I think they're maybe even crouched over. They have a little device they're using to inspect the pipe with. And there's a third that has it's like a tablety looking thing that has a light that comes out of it, and they're leaning over, peering at down into this crater. You can kind of see as they turn a little bit, maybe, that underneath their hoods, you can kind of see they have slightly elongated noses, but you can't really see too much more than that. And they are talking to each other, but in kind of like hushed, whispered voices. You can't quite pick up on what they're saying.
So what do you think are the chances that this is perfectly normal and benign and that we don't have to do anything?
Well, those hoods don't exactly look OSHA regulation.
Maybe their OSHA is a little bit different here. I mean,
maybe it's
different dimensions.
About 20%.
All right. So who wants to go poke at the hive and see what comes out?
I mean, can I just try to see more from here and like just assess the situation by looking
Absolutely.
Really hard?
Yeah, you're a little ways back, and there are enough trees, like you're far enough away from them that you can kind of even maybe dart between the trees, and they're very focused. So yeah, if you want to take a moment, give me that roll.
So I got a 6 on the dice, with no modifiers. It's just a 0, so it's a 6.
Alina hands her field binoculars. Don't ask where they came from.
Oh, thanks.
Pockets. I'm sure Alina has pockets.
Pockets are important.
It's important to always have binoculars on you.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that assistance, then that gets to a 7. So then you get to ask one question.
So what here is the biggest threat?
It's not the, like that one in the middle is the strongest. They're the biggest threat, and it's more like whatever they're doing with this drill does not feel right, and it feels. Like the way that you traveled here feels like it, like you've traveled between dimensions, and are at least aware of the idea that maybe there are other people out there who travel between different dimensions in different ways than the way you do, but the way that you traveled here felt wrong. It felt like something had broken in the sort of in the universe. Like you didn't smoothly travel here. It felt like something broke or snapped, and you came through here. And you're getting the sense that what these people are doing is, if not causing that, related to it. Like what they're doing here is not good. Yeah. I think it manifests as just like this pit in your stomach of like, you just have this sense that what they're like, that this place is important in some way. And the fact that they are drilling something out of it is not good.
Okay.
Kat, something is wrong here. I feel like they're doing something to like the whatever portal we came through, something between the dimensions is happening strangely because of whatever they're doing. Do you know anything about stuff like this? I know it's different than the way that you've traveled before.
Yeah, I mean, most people aren't stupid enough to, like, do whatever it is these guys are trying to do. I'm gonna go in and take a closer look. And Kat's gonna try and teleport over to the drill.
Okay.
Out of sight of the hooded figures. Just trying to position herself close to the drill, but
okay,
not easily seen by the hooded figures.
Can you describe what that teleport looks like? You've mentioned that you can teleport before. What is it? What is it? Give us that visual.
It's a very simple teleportation. One moment, Kat is standing there, and the next minute, she's gone and appears somewhere else. And there's like a slight little whoosh of air as air comes to fill the gap left by Kat.
Okay. So you get closer, and I think that it's quiet enough that that you don't alert these folks to your presence. And as you get closer, I think there are two things that you kind of immediately notice, which is that now that you're closer to this drill, you can see up and over into this crater, and you can see that there is a pool of metallic kind of pale liquid inside of it. And as the drill drills more, the liquid is kind of being slurped up into it. And as you're looking at the pipe, you can see now that it's a little bit more see-through than maybe you thought initially. And it's clearly got liquid flowing through it. And on the side of the drill, we like punch in for a close-up panel. It has a clear, like, there's a whole bunch of really, really kind of foreign-looking circuit boards and mechanical things, but then in the middle, it has a clear plaque that says "Peer Review Test Labs Dimensional Liquid Drill and Pump."
That's not good.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm also going to try and assess the situation.
Okay. Are you getting closer too, or are you staying back?
I've got the binoculars, so I'm going to stay back a little bit.
Okay. So give me that roll.
5, 6, 7, 9.
So you get to ask one question from the list.
Okay. What here can I use to maybe shut down the machine?
It is definitely, I don't know about shut down the machine, but because of the way this drill is sort of, it's like a, it is like a tall, it has like these spider legs. And so if you were to do something to one of those spider legs, it would probably topple over in a way that would prevent it from being able to continue to drill downwards, at least. And that would stop whatever it was doing.
Ooh, but that seems like maybe...
maybe a bit much.
Maybe a bit like I don't want to do that right away if I don't have to. I'm going to turn to them. I don't see any sort of emergency shut off, but that liquid was exactly what I saw before I got sucked into a test tube and blarfed here.
Great. So I have insecure, so I'm going to do something dumb.
Okay.
I'm going to just get up and walk towards them and wave and go, "Hey, do you guys have a bathroom I could use?"
Oh, he's my least favorite now.
I'm like, I see him doing that. I'm like, I think about saying something, and then you see me quickly duck behind a tree.
I love insecure. It's my favorite condition.
Kat will watch and just shake her head.
So are you walking over again, just so that I'm clear about where our spacing is? Are you walking over so that when they turn around and look at you, are they going to see Kat? Are you trying to position yourself sort of opposite?
I will at least try to position myself as a distraction.
Okay. Kat will hide.
Okay. That too. So these three figures kind of stop and turn and look at you. And as they look at you, you can clearly see that they have big, like mouse-like faces. They have a very strong, like rodent nose. They have whiskers that kind of stick out. And again, now you can also see as they turn to look at you that they have furry clawed hands. And one of them, the one that was kind of like looking over into the crater, looks up and from their device and says,
"This might trigger. Are you watching closely?
Okay.
If you think this is enough of a distraction for them.
If that's what you're trying totally to do, cool for yeah. It to not. If you're doing it as a distraction, then definitely give me that roll.
Either these guys are just going to go and attack me and we know that they're bad, making life a lot easier, or like maybe they'll actually just go let me use the bathroom and maybe...
But either way, yeah. You're trying to convince them that you're here accidentally or not, yeah. Whatever. Okay, mm-hmm. So yeah, roll plus superior.
That is a 10.
Okay. So on a 10, you could actually choose three of these. Wow. That is, you get to choose, you get an opportunity, you expose a weakness or flaw, you confuse them for some time, or you avoid further entanglement.
I'm going to do confuse them for some time. Let's expose a weakness or flaw. And I think avoid further entanglement.
So they turn towards you. You see that they sort of have these rodent faces. Mm-hmm. And one of them says... We have a restroom back on the ship. How did you get here? You can't come to our ship. You should go back where you came from. Leave this place.
That's a bit of a problem because I don't know how I got here.
Well, then at least go away. Go walk away. Don't look here. Don't interfere with our plan. Don't interfere with the freeing. You should leave. You should you're in danger here.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it be safer if you're more experienced? To let me up and at least use the bathroom so I don't, like, you know, wee on the weird metallic stuff.
And they turn towards each other to kind of like converse in a sort of different language that you don't understand. And they seem very confused, like they had not really thought that through. And the one turns back and says, "No, you should just leave. You can't be here. You can't be part of the ceremony. You haven't earned it. You don't deserve to be here. You should just leave and go away and not be involved. Don't involve yourself in this. It's not."
Come on, Mickey, be a pal.
I think that if you're trying to convince them to genuinely bring them back to bring you back to their ship, that you should roll to provoke.
I will totally do that. That's probably also foolhardy, but hey, why not? That is a 13.
Oh boy. Okay, so on a 10 plus, they rise to the bait and they do what you want. So they huddle back up and kind of like squeak at each other for a moment, and then
they actually squeak at each other.
It's definitively a language, and it's mm-hmm. a deeper squeak because they are not mouse sized, but mm-hmm. it's like if squeaking evolved into a language of some sort. And so they kind of talk, and a different one than the one who spoke to you before turns and says, "All right, come with us quickly. You can do your business and get out. And then as soon as you are done, you will leave and you will not come back here and you will find your way back to your own home. We can't help you with that. But we will accommodate you. But don't look at anything. You're not allowed to look at this. You can't see the ritual. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's for us."
Sure. And like Quint will put his hands up to his eyes like he's trying to have blinders on while he is going to look around, of course. But he's going to try and act like he's not.
Okay. And they will take one more moment, looking back at this machine, this drill, to make sure that it has finished now. As you like walk towards them, you can see into this crater and there is no longer any liquid left in this crater. And so one of them kind of lifts up the tablet and connects it to the device for a second, hits some things on a screen and the drilling sound winds down. And now you can just hear like the pump running as the rest of the liquid is being, pushed along this pipe. And then they disconnect the thing and they carry it along and one of them sort of like gestures with two hands and is like, "Come with us, come quickly, don't look. You're not part of the ceremony. You don't deserve to be part of the ceremony, but you can use the restroom and then you can leave."
Yep, not part of the ceremony. No ceremony at all. What ceremony?
And I think they don't even answer that. They're just gonna gesture and lead you along the piping back towards into the distance. So what do the rest of you do as Quint just like steps up and then moves with these people?
Now, as he is going to use the facilities on the spaceship, are all of the other figures following him into?
They're done here. They're all going back together.
All right. So, but they're leaving. The drill is.
Yes, the drill is staying here. They're just leaving.
All right. All right, so I'm going to go in for a closer look into the device.
Okay.
And see what kind of pumpy pump it is.
Okay. So it looks pretty much like what you'd expect. It's almost like it's almost a little comically like what you'd expect. Like it is it looks like a lightsaber hilt, where it's got like a bunch of different sizes and it has a whole bunch of different switches and machines and stuff on it. It has the plaque, it has the PRL logo on it. It has, like, as you get closer and look, it has a it has one of those like three-headed drill heads that you can see is pulling up out of this hole where it has drilled down into through this little crater and into the reservoir that's below. And you can see that it's definitely designed to pump up liquids. The actual pipe itself kind of comes up, and I said connects like maybe one third of the way up, and it's actually designed to disconnect and pop off, so you could pop another tube onto it. And the I think that if you kind of get the sense that there's enough machinery around these legs that if you had that controller, this thing might be able to move on its own. Like, it might be able to walk. Like, there's more gadgetry and sort of robotics here than you would need for just a stabilizing drill setup.
I think I, like, carefully went up there with Alina. And I'm just gonna, like, look at her and say, like, do you think we should just, like, spill the goo out?
I don't know if we would necessarily go back to where
we... Well, without being under it and touching it.
That's true. Should we wait for Quint to maybe come back, though, before we crack open another?
Appear near Alina and Mystic. I'm going to go follow Quint, make sure nothing bad happens to him, and I'll be back.
Okay. I guess we'll be here.
Okay.
And Kat will go off and follow the rodent people and keep an eye on Quint.
Okay. So we're gonna our next panel is going to follow your teleport and jump back up to Quint as you travel through the woods a little bit, and after a little while, it's the same weird, like, sliding opening in the forest where you always feel like you're in the middle of an opening, and it feels like the forest certainly is going to get denser in front of you, and it doesn't. It always sort of seems to slide away just over the horizon, which is super weird because, again, this whole place is very flat except for the odd crater here and there. And as you are walking through, you see that there are lots of these other craters all around, and they all have a tube running to them. And every once in a while, here or there, you'll see one that has another drill unit standing next to it. Like, maybe they were kind of moving it around between areas, but there maybe were more than one team working on drilling. As you make your way through this forest, you can tell that these sort of rodent figures are getting antsier. They're starting to second guess. They're talking to each other in a way that you don't understand the language, but clearly it's nervous, and they're starting to second guess their decision to bring you here. But they haven't stopped moving, and they haven't stopped you from coming with them.
Cool.
And as you sort of you break through into a much larger clearing, and so what you can kind of see here is there is it's a big open clearing. To one side, there is this large spaceship. Think it looks a little bit like a fish skeleton. And so there is, like, there's a head at the front that is very, like, fish head like, where you can see where the eyes of the fish would be. There are these domes of glass, and in there you can see other hooded figures moving around. And in the back, where the tail of the fish would be, instead there are like big thrusters that are what propel this thing through space. And in sort of underneath these ribs of the fish, there are these large tanks. And the tanks are all filled with that glowing kind of weird metallic milky liquid. And in fact, as you get closer, you can see that all of the tubes are running into the ship. And then from the top of the ship, so I guess also as the rest of this area, there are these big, there are the bunch of those like freestanding generator lights that they use at like football fields and like little league baseball fields and stuff like that, where it's like a cart that wheels out and they turn it on. And it has like a huge 20-foot tall like support beam with these enormous lights, and these, there are all these enormous lights that are set up around, and so you kind of see in the center of this big area, there's like a huge crack, a rend in the earth here. There are no trees. It's just like it's weird because again, it looks like shattered glass. It doesn't look like shattered earth. It doesn't look like the way that like if there's an earthquake or something and there's a break in earth, it kind of tends to deform and sort of pill up in the sides and stuff like that. And this is not doing that. This looks like someone took this world and shattered it like a pane of glass. And it almost hurts your mind to look at because it kind of almost doesn't really make sense the way it's physically moving. And poking up through the middle of it is this kind of like big coned void in space. Like you can't see anything. You can't even like it's, you can kind of only because you're moving towards like around the edge of this big clearing towards the ship, can you even get a sense of the shape. But it's this big like formless thing, and it sort of almost reflects the stars around up above, and you can see like reflections of the covering of the trees. And from the top of the ship, they have there are much larger tubes that are running out to either side of the crack, and one that's running up to, there's like a cone tip that is sitting on the very top of this dark, weird void space.
Cool. So on the way here, I do want to do a few things. So my Quint's powers are psychic weapons and emotional manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
So with his psychic weapons, he's popping up a like a psychic blue knife a couple paces behind him and like leaving score marks and stuff for someone to follow. During the walk, he is trying to tamp down their nervousness and actually pump up their curiosity. Because I figure if they're asking me questions, if they're curious about me, they'll talk to me and maybe I can get more stuff out of them that way.
Yeah. I think I think that's going to be super easy for you. I think that these people, like, they don't put up a lot of, they don't have a whole lot of mental resistance to this. Mm-hmm. They're hyper-focused on this task, and that, I think, has left them, like, the rest of their minds, like, kind of open for your manipulation. And so as you move into this final clearing and they start to bring you around towards the spaceship, you also see there are now other hooded figures moving around this clearing, doing different things. And one of them is going to say, "Well, so how did you get here? If you don't have a spaceship that has a bathroom on it, then how did you get here?"
Yeah, there was this like weird pool of the stuff, and I think maybe I got too close to it and kind of got slurped. It wasn't a pleasant feeling.
And one of them is going to turn, the one that asked you that question turns to the other one and kind of like pushes him a little bit. And it's just like, wait, did you miss one? Did we miss one? You didn't. If they found out that we missed one, then you're going to get in trouble. This was on you. And everyone's like, no, we got everything that was out there. We didn't, there were no leftover. Was there a tube? When you came out, when you were looking around, was it still full? Did we drain it like the others?
At least where I landed, there wasn't really any tubes. It just a little puddle, really. If you guys missed something, should we go back and get it? I can help you. We can. Once I use your bathroom, we can head back and clean up.
And they kind of look at each other for a second, and the one's like, "No, we definitely got everything." And the other one says, "Well, we have to go back and check. We can't have missed anything. We need it all."
Yeah. But can we hurry? I really need to use the facilities.
And so they are going to hustle you forward to their ship, and And sort of just like once like they're so they're gonna it, you're going into the fish head part of the ship. There's like a big ramp that's down already that leads up into this ship, and when you get up there, you can see kind of to your left there is a very distinct cockpit room that has a couple of hooded figures in it, and all of these people are wearing hoods. Like they weren't they weren't doing this just to like hide themselves from you or any like onlookers. Like they are every single person that you see here is wearing a hood. This is just their uniform. And the one points you to a room right by the door as you move closer to it, it slides open and there's a restroom that has all sorts of kinds of
all sorts of bathrooms.
Yeah, all sorts of different shapes of receptacle for whatever it is that
there's
you need
like
to do.
Like cedar litter box and a bidet.
And the door slides closed behind you. And I think with that door sliding closed, we're going to cut back to Mystic and Alina. So what are you doing back in the woods by this drill?
I guess we could be like looking to see if they left any controls around, if like any buttons or panels to tell us what's going on are accessible to us. They were using a tablet earlier, but I don't know if maybe there's a matching one that's like attached to the drill.
Go
ahead. No,
there's a connection point where you saw the person sort of connect the tablet to it. But I'm trying to think. I don't think there would be a. So let's actually say this. So there's the main the main tablet you saw them use to control this thing has this big like hefty connection point that they used. And so like that would be certainly a full control for this thing. But there are a couple other there's like down sort of towards the base of the drill. Like you'd almost have to be standing in the crater to do it. There's a smaller screen that looks like maybe a backup control. For doing something if you've lost the main control or maybe it's like an emergency shutoff type thing. Like you're gonna have like it looks like it has like maybe three buttons. It's not a touch screen. It's got like three buttons and one of those like four arrow shaped buttons for maneuvering like the oldest possible menu you could possibly imagine. And there's like one screen that has like enough room for two lines of text. And that's about all you've got and like one dial or something.
Gosh, I wish I had Frequency or Sokotoa, because now all I want to do is try to ride this thing. But yeah, the last time I was in a spaceship, it didn't go well for everyone.
You've been in that's cool. Sounds stressful though.
Yeah, this very, very smart but crazy lady took it over. Something having to do with blood, and one of my friends from another dimension. Well, I mean, arrows seem to mean the same thing in every dimension, right? So she's just gonna like navigate through and just start flipping switches. Why not?
I'm gonna watch your back while this is happening, just in case an explosion happens or something. Like, I have magic that can hold that kind of thing back. So, you go ahead. I'll just watch.
Alina, I would like you to roll to unleash your powers to try to make this thing do anything.
4 plus freak.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't it, Chief.
All right.
6.
So I have a burn boost.
Oh.
So I could use the flare boost. So I can use spend one burn to supercharge a teammate's efforts with your powers, giving them a +1 bonus to their roll as if you had spent team from the pool.
Okay. That would bump it up to a 7. So yeah, you maneuver through these menus and you find like there's one that says voice controls and you pick one of the other three buttons kind of at random and push the button the screen kind of lights up a little bit and you hear this voice say, "It looks like you're trying to activate voice controls. Can we help you?"
Oh, hey, yes, OnStar. I need to get back to my place. It's through a lake of silver stuff.
Are you trying to move the drill?
Sure, for starters.
Without the control tablet, movement controls will be limited. Which direction would you like the drill to move in?
I'm going to look at Mystic and say,
Are we standing underneath the drill in this moment? Is that where you said the...
I think you're standing next to it. You're not underneath it. You couldn't, it's not tall enough for you to be fully underneath it. It's maybe like a couple feet taller than you. So when you're down in the crater, which is maybe 5 feet across, you're a little bit lower than it, but you're still like standing next to it.
Okay.
Is there like forward where your mate, where you've been
moving
made?
Forward? Yes. and it's going to like slowly. So there's like, there's a way that like when you watch a four-legged animal walk, it always like they lift like opposite legs, so they always have like the right number of legs on the ground, and they're not. And this thing does not move like that. It doesn't move like with two legs lined up. It's moving with like the two. It's moving like across straight, and so it kind of every time it lifts a leg, it hurtles in one direction, and then it lifts another leg, and then it slides in the direction, and only just barely is able to do that in this like weird tilting wobbling gait as it moves. I think probably off in a perpendicular direction to where the pipes were moving. And it's not going very fast.
Okay, hey, I got it to do a thing.
Should we just follow it for like I'm doing quotations forward?
Well, I mean, I drill pump, please stop.
Stopping forward motion. And then it kind of like puts its last leg down and wobbles a little bit and then stops.
I mean,
this is not a valid drill location.
Okay. We're not going to drill. All right. We don't have to drill if you don't want to. We're okay.
So we know that console works, at least. That's good.
And now that I've bonded with it, it knows my scent.
Yeah, you seem really comfortable with robots.
I have a few at home. They're rescues.
And a voice behind you says, a little too comfortable with my drill, I think. And if you turn around, there is a sort of average to tall height, masculine shape person who is wearing like just a vest with nothing underneath of it and some like calf length shorts that are kind of like baggy and have a lot of like lengthy cargo shorts, basically.
JNCO jean shorts.
Yeah. And and their skin is black, but it's not like skin black. It's like black, like dark as night. Like literally it has stars inside their skin that's moving around. And so they almost like, it's almost as you look back, it almost is hard to see them because he's almost
absorbing
like, camouflaged
light.
Into the, well, but he's almost like past behind him is the dark night sky with stars. And he's almost literally the same color as that. And so you only see the vest and the shorts. And because he sort of stepped close enough to you, that you can, and that the like sort of like whatever star, whatever's casting light around here, is enough that you're able to see the form. And he is kind of very, very muscular, and he's going to step towards you and pull this, like, it's, he has this, it's a long tube, that kind of looks like almost looks like a rocket launcher, but instead of having a rocket inside of it, it has this like big spear point out of the front, and he kind of like puts it down on the ground in front of him like it's a staff and leans on it kind of very casually, and we get a little editor's note that identifies him for the readers as Dorado the Striker, and he's going to say, I would appreciate if you would step away from my drill.
I'm looking at whether Alina is moving.
I have been reading the files. Can I use that?
Sure.
8. So it's a 10. And then on a hit, tell the team one important detail you've learned from my studies.
So yeah, so you've rolled a 10. So you will tell us one thing that's important that you've learned from your studies about Dorado the Striker. And then I will tell you what, if anything, seems different from what you remember. And because you had a 10 plus, then you can also ask me one follow-up question.
Okay. I'm going to inch closer to Mystic and say, okay, so this is Dorado. He is a well, it's like an, do you have oil tycoons from your dimension?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he's like that, but with like anything, any substance that could like literally destroy the world.
Okay, so our gut instinct about the drill was right.
Yes. Evil capitalist.
Yes. I think he's mainly greed motivated. So maybe if we back off and apologize, he won't obliterate us.
Okay.
So I will tell you that the so the files that you had on Dorado, here's what's different. The files that you had on Dorado were on Dorado he's a finder of like oils and precious goods and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he was definitely a very he was a, like, he had a knack for finding things. Like that was his superpower. And because so the asset probably had a file, like one small file on him. It doesn't come around Earth very frequently, but he was someone who was useful to find things. If you needed a lost thing, so you could pay him, and he was definitely but he was a business suit capitalistic type of space person. And this Dorado does not look like a businessman. This person looks more like a hunter. This person looks like maybe the thing that they're good at in this world is finding like big game animals or something. Like that's the sense you're getting.
Okay, so I'm getting the feeling that maybe the Dorado I know might be a little bit more refined than this gentleman. What is the question I want to ask you? Okay, what is he scared of?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a good question. What is he scared of? He's scared that one day he'll find something that, like, that he's scared that he'll get in over his head, that he'll find something to hunt that he can't beat.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Alina's just gonna size him up. And she's seen these guys before. She's come across them every once in a while in her kitchen. you know.
Like you do.
You work with the people you have, you know, when you're from the world that her mentor is in. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, Dorado, correct?
Oh, you've heard of me.
Well, I mean, who hasn't?
And I'm nodding as if I had heard of him before.
He's going to say, I try to keep to the shadows, but obviously tales of my adventures reach far and wide in the universe.
Well, yes. We have a vested interest in your business. My name is Nancy St. Stacy. This is my sister Daisy. Daisy St. Stacy.
I give a little wave.
And he is going to kind of take a step closer to you and then replant and lean against this rocket launchery type thing, and kind of leaning over it and smiling this wicked smile, say,
are you here to join us for the hunt?
You turn to the last page of the comic and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio format to letters@protean.city. We'll publish your letters with every issue and a response from our editors.
Hello! In a recent issue, Alina was able to summon, with the help of Fracture, different versions of herself that were each just a little bit different. Are you perhaps implying that there's an infinite multiverse out there, possibly with different goofy versions of our heroes? And is it possible that there are other heroes out there in the multiverse? And if so, what are the chances of them ever showing up in Protean City? Sincerely, Quentin Hero, Rancho Paseo, California.
We know from our brief interaction with Fracture that the Protean City writers are interested in exploring alternate universes within our stories. If they have a grander plan for these Watchers, they sure are taking their time, though. I'd be careful asking too many questions. The writers have been known to nab names from letter writers to use in the comics. And you never know, you might find an alternate universe version of yourself showing up in a comic someday.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network.
It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1.
Quint is played by Eric. He can be found on Twitter at PrimeFactorX01, and as a silky smooth fae on the Shadows of St. Fleur podcast. Mystic is played by Siobhan, who can be found at SpellboundMage on Twitter. Cat is played by Allison Catherine, who can be found on the Otherwear and St. Fleur Discords. She also voices Jeremiah Crawford on the Shadows of St. Fleur podcast. They can all be found on Otherwear, a masks podcast about superpowered teens traveling through the multiverse, being heroes, and trying to find a place to fit in.
The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.